Today on Real Radio.
And the birds of the air lodged in its branches. Uh-oh. In the law of Bible study, what is called expositional constancy, that is a bad thing. Because whenever birds are mentioned generically, it usually refers to judgments.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his verse-by-verse look at the New Testament letter known as 1 John. We're in a mini-series that focuses on the strong warning issued by the Apostle John in the opening verses of chapter 4. He writes in very plain language, "Be not deceived." One way professing believers can be deceived is through signs and wonders, or, as certain texts say, lying signs and wonders. That's what pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs looks at today as we continue this series taken from this section of 1 John chapter 4. The series is called Living in the Days of Deception.
You'd have to be maybe in a church family that doesn't study the Bible. They don't go verse by verse to the Bible. I don't know. But if a believer is fellowshipping with a believer, which we're commanded to do, and I think one of those things is that we might be able to not only be as iron sharpens iron, but we might pray for one another, but also we might be able to warn one another of where we're at. This family of God is very powerful. The next thing that we know here regarding our unique origin is that we have a new authority to answer to. When it says here in verse 5 that they are of the world, listen, we're no longer of the world. Listen, were we once of the world? Oh man, were we ever? But we're not any longer. And we answer to a new authority. That new authority is God. People who once fought against authority, now they embrace God's authority. It's comforting. It's exciting. The Bible says, the Bible tells us that the head of the church is Jesus Christ. That word simply means the authority. And we have a new authority. Listen, we answer to him. Listen, we do not answer to our emotions. We do not answer to even our sight. If we see something that doesn't jive with Scripture, or you sense that the Holy Spirit is sending you a warning, be very careful. Go to your new authority. That is God, the Word of God. Go there. Don't be deceived. Don't be tricked by the latest or the thing that maybe tickles the spine or causes you to deviate from the path that the Lord would have you on. The next thing that we consider here is that we have a new relationship, and I think that's pretty obvious. They're of the world. We are not of the world. We have a new relationship with God, with one another, and listen, we have a new relationship with the world. You ever been to Universal Studios? You walk into that place and it's got all these props and things that are up there. And, you know, if you've been there enough, it's like twice. It's kind of like, yeah, that's so fake. But some of the stuff can really get you good. I noticed a car commercial the other day, and I didn't notice the car. I noticed that the car was being displayed on a what looked like New York City street. But it was Universal Studios because I recognized the buildings. And it's all fake. The world is that way. It has, to me, the trappings of the mall. You go into the mall, and you look at the store, and it's got all this, like, you look at the Disney store. That's a great example. The Disney store has got all those fun little statues out there and all the neat little things. And then you walk inside, look up in the ceiling past the bright lights. There's wires and junk hanging there. It's on a facade. Listen, our new relationship with God has so opened up our eyes that we're not even interested in what's fake anymore. We have no appetite for what's false. We don't want anything about it. It can't do anything for us. This new relationship with God is so filling and so satisfying that it causes the world to no longer be attractive. And so, spiritually, I use this as just an analogy. You walk into the mall, and it's all a facade. It's all glitter and lighting and angle and texture and coating. but it's not real. But we can get so caught up into that kind of thing, both physically and spiritually, that, you know, we depart from that relationship that we have with God, that all of our contentment comes from Him. We need to be careful. The second thing that we see tonight is that we're separate. We are separate. We're in the victory. I want to put it to you like that. When it says here that they are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world. Keep this in mind. It says here that the world hears them. If you're going to war against an enemy, one thing you want to do is not only get into their communication systems, but listen, those of you who've studied this kind of stuff, you don't want to destroy their communication systems. If you have to, you have to, but you don't want to. There's one thing better than destroying their communication systems. It's getting control of their communication systems, because through that, you can communicate to the forces on the field false or misinformation. It's a very powerful way of winning a war. Rather than blow up their communication system, you steal it. And you begin to lace their communication system with false information to lead the forces astray. Listen, God has given us the Bible and the Holy Spirit. The victory, your Bible says, has already been won in Christ. It's done. The world and the schemings and deceptions of the world is constantly, Satan is probing and stalking and crouching and crawling about to try to infiltrate and to rip off the believer. The beautiful thing about the believer is that the believer comes out of the corner of victory. You ever seen a boxing match? Those guys are there, and what if you knew about the outcome of the fight before it ever started? Maybe somebody, you know, handed you a video. Here, you know, did you hear about the outcome of the fight? Yes. Oh, well, I watched the video anyway. You already know who won. So because you know who won, let's say, you know, it's Holyfield wins over Tyson, and you put the thing in there, you already know the outcome. Because you know the outcome, you're going to be prone to be looking at the winner's corner more often, because you're going to see, maybe you're going to pick up on what led about to the victory. He's going to be coming out of the corner of victory every time. How do you know that? Because you know who the winner is. Even though on tape, in the recorded time, nobody knew who the winner was as it was being recorded. But now you know, because the time has passed. The winner is Holyfield. You put the tape in, and you watch him come out of the winner's corner, the victor's corner, long before he was ever announced victor on the tape. That's how the Christian is. Every day that you and I wake up, we come out from the corner of victory. In God's game, in God's view, it's all done. If it's all done, why is it so hard? Because we don't see ourselves as victors. They're of the world. Listen, everybody, what's the world? What's happening to the world right now? It's falling apart. It's going down. It's decaying. It's rotting in every way, shape, and form. They're of the world. You don't have to worry. You don't have to worry. The victory is ours. We have been given His hope. I love the fact that there is such a division here in verse 5. We have the hope. Why? Because we're special? No. I mean, read what Paul said to the Corinthian church. Those guys were funny guys, Corinthians. You know, people who get into legalism, I don't know what they do with the book of Corinthians, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. I don't know what they do with it. Because, you know, God calls them saints. He calls them believers. He says that you guys are zealous for gifts. They were ministering to one another. But do you also realize that they were extremely carnal? I mean, the church at Corinth had to be the most carnal church in the Bible. They were involved in sexual escapades and going to church on Sunday. And man, Paul came in and set them straight. But they were, Paul was calling them saints. It's like, oh my gosh, I know it's horrible, isn't it? Do we become saints and then we qualify for heaven? No. What an amazing God we have. That these people who are following God in some bit of ignorance, and certainly a lot of carnality, God calls them saints through Paul. How does He do that? You ever read Hebrews chapter 11? The chapter of the lifestyles of the righteous and faithful? read that chapter. That's amazing. All of the things in there, wonderful things stated about them. Great things said about Abraham. Then you go back to Genesis, and Abraham was quite the ding-dong at times. He was goofed up a lot, made a lot of bad mistakes. Yet he's commended in Hebrews. How is that? Because God, I know this theologically, I wish I knew this day by day, emotionally and intellectually. Every day God saw those people in their victory that's in Christ, in their hope that is of God. He saw them coming from the place of being the winner in these spiritual battles. And he sees them as saints. Now, if you would have asked Abraham, "Abraham, what kind of a guy are you?" You know, "Well, I love God with all my heart, but you know, I guess when it comes down to push and shove and my own skin's in trouble, I'll tell the king that my wife's my sister just so I'll live and he can take her to his harem." Can you believe that? "Abraham, what are you doing?" I mean, you can go on and on with this. But you see, God would say, "Now, looky here, that's Abraham, he's my friend." But God, "Abraham is quite the goober." And God would say, "What was that? I don't understand goober. All I know is Abraham is my friend. You see, a long time ago, he was justified by faith. Long before the law was ever given, and long before circumcision ever came, I called him righteous. He's my friend." "Well, let's talk about Jacob, God, for a while, okay? Jacob, now there's a guy. Jacob, God, are you sure that he wasn't the forerunner of all used car salesmen, this guy Jacob?" And God says, "Used car salesman? What? I don't get that." "Jacob, well, he's a man that wouldn't let me go. Jacob, he's tenacious. He's got such a heart for me. I just love that boy." And you begin to think after a while, if you're not looking in the spirit, but in the flesh of things, "God, what's wrong with you?" There's nothing wrong with him. He sees in that hall of faith, Hebrews 11, all those who put their trust in Christ. And that's how he sees you. Wouldn't it be great if your wife saw you that way? Or your husband saw you that way? Or your boss? "Hey, buddy, I know you just blew up that lathe or that car, but I see you in Christ. You know, here's a raise." That'd be great. God sees us that way, that hope that we have in him. Also, we've been given his faith. His faith. I don't mean that God has faith. He doesn't need faith. He's given us the gift of faith. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 tells us there that by faith, by grace we have been saved. And listen, it's a gift. The faith, the grace is all of God, lest any man could boast. We can't boast. It's all of the Lord. He's given this unto us. Let's keep going quickly. We've been given his love. We have been given his love. All these things in the scripture, if we were to research these out from this verse, are all past tense. It's the done thing. It's done. We need to walk in these truths. It's much easier for us to critique people, tear them down, chew on them, because we don't see them coated, so to speak, with Jesus. It's easy to pull out our tongue and slice somebody in half. But it is so very wrong. And listen, when we do that, we're going against the very, very nature, heart, will, and view of God. We need to be more loving, and never does that come across more clearly than with our tongues. Third and final point here, we are complete. We're complete because we have his confidence. In this world of deception that is upon us and is going to increase, everyone, it's going to increase. If you are not reading your Bible and confident in the Word of God and what God is doing and leading you in your life, you're going to get sucked up. You may say, "Well, I thought you said at the beginning that we couldn't be deceived." I can't be deceived. I know that I'm a believer. I know that His Holy Spirit lives in me. I can't say that about anybody else, and neither can you. You know for you. I can't say to you, well, I know that you doubt the Lord, or you've got this, or you know, whatever, but and I know your doctrine's way off, but I think you're going to be in heaven. I can't say that. Neither can I turn and say to somebody, you're going to hell. I can't say that. That's not for me to decide. That's for God to decide. I can't do that, and I wouldn't want to do that. But the fact is, the truth is, if we're in the Word of God, we will have a confidence that His Word brings, and it's a completeness, and we won't have to worry about being led astray because of who God is. We know His nature, and He saves us. Several of us have been, just called upon to critique and go over a book that is going to be put out, we hope not too far from now, and that book is going to be on salvation. And I'm excited, just already going through the first part of the book. It's exciting because it's going to be a book, by the way, that everyone's going to want to buy. I mean, I think this is going to be a tremendous book to read and to study, and it's going to answer a lot of questions. But one of the things is understanding who God is in the area of salvation. And I tell you, it is just the introduction. I couldn't put the thing down. And I tell you, you come away. You will come away from this book. Because it's just a book. You know him. It's a book stuffed with Bible. And you're going to come away with, all right. Satan, you better go home. Quickly, because our God lives in us. This is an amazing thing to me. How is it that the Scriptures teach us that the Holy Spirit, and it had to be the Holy Spirit, now lives inside us? Jesus said something fantastic in John's Gospel. He says, listen, he's speaking to the disciples. He says, listen, I must go away. It's to your advantage, because if I do not go away, the Holy Spirit cannot come to you. And if I go away, He will come, and He will teach you whatsoever things have been commanded. He will not speak of Himself, but will speak of the truth. The moment you said yes to Jesus, now some of you felt things. That's why on Sunday mornings or whenever I give an invitation, I'll tell them, you know, some of you may feel something and some of you may not feel something. I know people who accepted Christ and they felt like they said that they were like being bathed in electrical water, warm water, like electrical. They said they felt wonderful. That sounds wonderful. I didn't feel anything. I would have liked to have felt something, but I didn't feel anything. And if somebody were to ask me, how does it feel to be saved? I don't know. What is that feeling like? How does it feel to be saved? I don't know what that feels like. I don't know what that means. Feeling? I don't know that. But I know I'm saved. Because He said, all those who will come unto Him, He will not cast off. He said that He's the way, the truth, and life, and no man goes to the Father but through Him. So I've decided that I'm going to go to the Father through Him. I never got a feeling out of it. But I know it's true. Is someone more or less spiritual in one way or the other, if that happened or didn't happen? No. But the amazing thing is the Holy Spirit lives inside you who trust Christ. And the book of Ephesians chapter 1 tells us the day that happened, you were sealed by the Holy Spirit unto the day of redemption. That's amazing. It's fantastic. You were embossed by the Spirit of God. And Jesus went on to say, I will not leave you orphaned. I will come to you. How in the world, Jesus, do you come to us? By the person of the Holy Spirit. We're complete and we have confidence in God because God alone is supreme. He's supreme. In the days of deception that you and I live in, we do not have to be afraid of what's coming. If we have our Bible open, our knees on the ground,
and our eyes on Christ, we're going to do fine. We will not only do fine, we will live and succeed in a time that God says to you and me, perchance, as Mordecai said to Esther, that you have been brought to the kingdom for such a time as this. You are alive and living now, and you are a Christian, I trust, in here tonight, because God, in His sovereign, supreme, awesome knowledge, deemed it so that you and I would be here now. You might say, well, boy, I would have loved to have lived during the times of Jesus. That would have been pretty awesome, I must admit. But are you willing to let go and let God be God and trust Him that you are living here now to do a work that, according to God's view and wisdom and knowledge, could not have been done by you in any other time or age? Do you believe that? I believe that. I believe that God has me here now to do a work that He knew was fit for me at this time. If I would have been, well, I wouldn't have been. He's God. But hypothetically, if I would have been born 400 years ago, it wouldn't have fit. Can you have that confidence? Listen, Christian, we need to leave from this place tonight and go every day tomorrow morning coming out of the corner of the winner, because all the battles have been done and completed by the Lord, knowing that I have been brought into the kingdom for such a time as this. And then I just get up and go for it. Or else I can sit back and twiddle my thumbs and wonder, well, Lord, what should I do? There's enough clearly written in this book that tells us what we ought to do that there wouldn't be enough time tomorrow to do it. And yet so many believers get sidetracked. What do you want me to do? What's your will? He's already told us so much. We be busy about those things, and we will never stumble, we will never fall, we'll never be led astray. We will be bold, we'll confront falsehood and deception in love with truth.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson taken from the first six verses of 1 John chapter 4, where the apostle warns about deception, and specifically in this lesson, we're learning about lying signs and wonders. Living in the Days of Deception is the title of this multi-part series. Living in the Days, spelled D-A-Z-E, of Deception. It's actually a mini-series that's part of Pastor Jack's overall collection of studies, taken from this New Testament letter written by the apostle John. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, don't forget that every Monday night, we'd be honored if you'd join us on hischannel.com. You can catch the latest Real Life with Jack Hibbs television program. Again, the show, Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Now, if you haven't seen the program yet, we really think you're going to like it. If you have seen the program, well, you know what I'm talking about. Real Life with Jack Hibbs is just that. It's a program that takes a look at real life issues that affect you and me, believers in today's world. Pastor Jack talks about issues like biblical prophecy, the nation of Israel, the religion of Islam, defending the faith, defending the truth and reliability of Scripture, also the Judeo-Christian worldview on politics, the military, government, and a whole lot more. It's a great program. Now, sometimes you'll hear Pastor Jack himself teach about these topics, whereas other times he'll sit down and interview somebody who specializes in that particular field. You're going to like this show. Real Life with Jack Hibbs, every Monday night, 7 o'clock, Pacific Coast Time, on hischannel.com. Now, if you'd like to see some recent interviews and topical teachings, just click Video on Demand right there at the top of the page. Then, of course, join us tonight for the broadcast of Real Life with Jack Hibbs, 7 o'clock West Coast time on hischannel.com. We hope to see you there. Our telephone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.